Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Nelcast Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Bhatt from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. On behalf of Nelcast Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all the participants on the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. The results and investor presentation have already been shared and are available on our website as well as through our filings with the stock exchanges. Joining us today to discuss the company's performance and outlook are Mr. P. Deepak, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S.K. Shivakumar, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the standard disclaimer. Please note that any statements made during this call, including those in our presentation materials that reflect our outlook for the future or may be construed as forward-looking statements, should be considered in conjunction with the risks the company faces. These statements may not be updated from time to time. Further details are available at the end of the investor presentation and in our filings on our website at www.nelcast.com. Should you have any queries or require additional information following this call, please feel free to reach out using the contact details provided in investor materials. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. P. Deepak. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Q1 of FY27 was another important quarter in Nelcast's growth journey. We delivered a revenue of 345.4 crores, representing a growth of 2.8% year-on-year, which was supported by healthy demand across our key end markets. The tractor and commercial vehicle segments continued to witness strong growth momentum, while exports recorded a sequential improvement during the quarter, reflecting encouraging customer activity and demand trends. While profitability during the quarter was impacted by elevated raw material costs, labor availability challenges, and a lag in passing through the higher input cost to customers, we view these largely temporary factors. We have already initiated customer discussions for price revisions and expect all of those to happen shortly. Importantly, the demand environment remains healthy across both domestic and export markets, giving us confidence in the underlying strength of the business. One of the key highlights for the quarter is the commencement of production for new products in Q2 of FY27. These programs are expected to ramp up progressively through the year and contribute meaningfully to volumes and revenues during the second half. Beyond supporting growth, these products are expected to improve our product mix, enhance profitability, and drive higher capacity utilization as the production scales. Exports remain a key strategic focus area for Nelcast. Export revenue improved sequentially to 113.3 crores during the quarter, supported by improving customer activity and encouraging demand levels. We continue to see opportunities in global markets as customers diversify sourcing strategies and increasingly look towards India as a reliable manufacturing partner. Nelcast remains well-positioned to capitalize on these opportunities through its established customer relationships and manufacturing capabilities. We are also making steady progress in expanding our customer relationships and strengthening our presence in international markets. Our efforts in Europe continue to advance, and we have secured additional business opportunities that support our long-term growth ambitions. More importantly, our customer engagement across segments continues to deepen, creating a broader and more diversified growth platform for the company. Looking ahead, we believe Nelcast is approaching an important inflection point. The foundations laid over the last several years through product development, customer diversification, operational improvements, and investments in manufacturing capabilities are now beginning to translate into visible growth opportunities. New product launches, improving utilization at Pedaparia, strengthening exports, a richer product mix, and continued customer additions provide multiple levers for growth. We are increasingly shifting from a cyclical recovery to a structural growth. We are evolving into a more diversified, value-added, globally relevant casting company with stronger earning potential than in the past. The progress achieved over the last 5 years provides a strong foundation for the future. With revenue, EBITDA and PAT growing at CAGRs of approximately 17%, 19% and 40% between FY21 and 26. Coupled with a stronger balance sheet and lower leverage, this positions us well for the next phase of growth. Our focus remains clear, driving growth through new product development, operational excellence and prudent capital allocation. With multiple growth levers now coming together, we believe Nelcast is well positioned to deliver sustainable growth, improving profitability and long-term value creation for all stakeholders in the years ahead. Now coming to the Q1 FY27 performance, revenue grew 2.8% year-on-year to 345.4 crores, supported by healthy demand across key end markets and improving export momentum. EBITDA stood at 20.1 crore and PAT at 5.1 crore, with profitability temporarily impacted by higher input costs and labor availability challenges. Exports improved sequentially to 113.3 crores, while customer price revisions, new product ramp-ups, and improving utilization are expected to support margin recovery in the coming quarters. The company's strong balance sheet and disciplined capital allocation continue to support its long-term growth strategy. Now, I would like to open the floor to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mr. Praneet from SJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned regarding a large order, I think, starting production right now. So when do you expect to ramp it up to the full-scale capacity that you were expecting?
So, number of volumes? Yeah, the volumes are just starting. The first orders are going out in the current month. And we expect that we'll be fully ramped up on these businesses probably within the next 9 months or so. So probably by Q4, we expect that these businesses that we are starting to ramp up now will reach mature volume.
But how many pieces are we expecting at peak volumes when we are supplying?
Sorry, can you repeat that? How many?
How many pieces? Look, I think it's a sub-assembly, a partial assembly of like 750 kg, stage, what you're doing. So just trying to understand how many pieces would we be supplying to a customer at our peak volumes.
So I think rather than pieces, I think pieces might be a misrepresentation because it is actually three different programs that we're referring to and multiple parts that have different sizes. So I think in terms of... In terms of the revenue potential once the ramp up is completed, we believe that number is in excess of about 200 crores a year. That's what we expect to get to that run rate towards the end of the financial year on these businesses.
Got it, sir. Understood. So we also mentioned some more order wins in Europe. Are they in the line of these large castings, or are they more traditional in terms of a commercial vehicle segment, like what we already have?
The order wins from Europe are more traditional parts. These are not yet the larger casting parts.
So, in terms of, let's say, order demand generation for these large parts, where would we be looking next? Like, would it be continue to be in IT space in the US, or would it be somewhere else that would we be looking?
So, I mean, the order book actually for the large parts is shaping up quite well. So the agri space in the U.S., where they have the largest tractors, I think is a great opportunity that we are, in the process of becoming well entrenched in. I think other than that, there are large castings even for the European market that we're starting to do, but I would say that those are probably not in as large a volume. But we're also getting more and more of the truck axle parts for the Indian market as well, and so there will be a very good diversification across geographies on these larger parts going forward. But at the moment, Europe doesn't look like it will be a very large percentage of it. But there are certainly opportunities there we're exploring as well on the larger parts.
Sir, you mentioned that axle parts are getting more incremental share, but I thought we were already supplying a large share to most of these customers. For most of them, we are probably the largest source, like 80%, 90%. So what are these additional parts that we are able to supplying to them?
So if you look at axles specifically, I think we can break axles probably into two separate segments. So one segment is the front axle of the four-wheel drive tractors. This is a segment where the entire market itself is just blowing up. I think the growth in the four-wheel drive segment in tractors has really taken off. And part of the reason is also has to do with the structure of the market. So if you have a tractor that is higher than 50 horsepower, the requirement of the emission norms is much more stringent, and it requires, obviously more expenditure. So the cost of the tractor goes up. And what people have realized is that you can do the work of a, 50-plus horsepower tractor with a 45-horsepower tractor with a four-wheel drive because the application of torque is better. So we've seen actually a fairly dramatic shift in the Indian market towards four-wheel drive in the last 4 years. So one, there is a market growth happening in the tractor segment of four-wheel drives that we're referring to. The second thing that we're talking about is on the commercial vehicles, which is the heavy trucks, right? Typically the large tippers that are there, and conversion of these from fabricated housings to cast housings. A year ago, we had probably developed our first of these parts, the first couple of parts that were going into the Indian market. Today, we're in the process of completing the development for all the OEMs that are there in India for their high-end tippers. So this is a segment that we expect to grow. So from about two part numbers that we had developed a year ago, we've got some samples that will be going out in the next couple of weeks. When I add all that up, we'll actually be at about 12 part numbers that we've developed, and many of these will go into production also in the next few months once the validation trials are done.
So the basically increment is from 2 to 12, so like you increase 10 more parts. Is that right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Understood. So as you mentioned,
we're only servicing to one, catering to one of the truck OEMs in India. At 12, we cater to everyone.
Is it the fact that they asked for a single source, or are we just increasing our portfolio then going to the customer? Like, just trying to understand, because getting share would be difficult if you're developing it, right?
All of these parts are single source. So this is a sort of an extension to their product strategy. So axles that were previously fabricated are being converted to casting, because in a casting you can do a lot more in terms of section thicknesses in key areas where the stresses are high, which you typically cannot do with a fabricated axle because you have to select the standard section thickness across the entire axle. So therefore, on heavy-duty applications, a casting is much more resilient to abuse and heavy loads. So therefore, on the higher end of the market, all the larger tippers that are there in the market are moving towards cast axles from fabricated.
But in terms of the final demand, do you see the higher...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. The line for the management has been disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect the line. Ladies and gentlemen, the management's line is reconnected. And you may go ahead.
Yeah, apologies for that. Technical issue. I think we're back.
Yes, sir. So I just concluded
what I needed to say. I hope you were able to get everything.
Yeah, I was just asking, in terms of the trend, you mentioned that there's been a, like, OEMs putting an effort into getting a higher class of vehicles. But do you see the demand also shifting to that, saying that as a cash products, the market is growing? Is that a fair understanding? Or
yes.
How is it?
Yes, I think the offerings that are there today are actually quite low, and with these products that are being developed, it is going up quite a bit, and it will continue to go up.
Understood, sir. And one question I wanted to ask in terms of order visibility. So, say with castings and this, it depends on offtakes, right? So, over the last 5 years, how has the order visibility and resilience of orders changed over the last few years? Could you give some idea on, like, how did it work out so far? So are we able to forecast for next 6 months, or How was it 5 years ago versus now?
So I think order visibility is a challenge, right? I think over the last probably decade and a half, the volatility in the market has gone up quite a bit. So I think while there is order visibility, that is there. So typically, there's a lot of variation that does come with that order visibility that's there. So a lot of this is schedule based. I mean, we get typically a firm schedule for about a month or so and some order visibility beyond that. But both of these are subject to change. For example, even in this current month, one of the truck OEMs increased their production plan by about 10% a week into the month. So there is, again, based on the market scenario and the demand scenario, there is a degree of adjustments that keep happening to schedules from time to time. We do get visibility. I mean, usually we get much longer visibility when the market is looking good, and the visibility is a little bit more short term when there's a lot of question marks that are in people's minds.
Got it, sir. So by the end of the year, where do you think we might end up in terms of tonnage and revenues? Because the last 3 years have been, even though the product mix is changing and getting more profitable, it has not shown up in any of the numbers because I think the costs have been going up equally during that time and revenues have not grown. So by the end of the year, where do you think you'll end up in terms of the top line and profitability wise?
So I think tonnage point of view, we believe that about 1 lakh tons or so this year is what we are expecting that the year will end up. Obviously, we'll have to see how we do depend on the market and how that moves. But we believe at this point that achieving 1 lakh tons this year is certainly in line with what our expectations are as of the moment. And then from a revenue perspective, I think the number is somewhere around 150 rupees a kilo type of thing, right? So it's about roughly, it should be a little over 10% growth given the current cost scenarios and the cost pass-throughs that are happening as we speak.
Got it, sir. So, and during our last two concalls, you mentioned the fact that we're putting some effort into reducing the working capital, let's say, receivable days from our exports. So how did the market receive to that and how has it been so far from the customer side?
So what we're doing more than anything else is with the new contracts that we're getting, we are actually spending a lot of time in making sure that we are negotiating this and that, we are getting a lower number of days of credit, right? So it's a lot harder to change existing contracts and existing agreements that we have with customers. But for all the new ones that we're getting, this is an area of focus and this is something that we are actively ensuring that we discuss and go. So that's something that as we see the new products come in and ramp up, we will see that that number of days also come down on the exports.
Got it, sir. And regarding our profitability wise, I think it's been up and down very drastically and it's to be expected with our type of industry. But on an average basis, by the end of the year, where do you think you might be ending up at for the average for next year? Like this year,
I think we're confident this year that we will get to 15 rupees a kg. I think the results of this quarter are more of a blip than anything else, and we're quite confident that we'll be able to recover that and get to about 15-ish rupee a kg type of a number for the year.
So you'll be able to likely to meet your milestone of 15 rupees this year. Is that fair understanding?
That's what we believe. I think certainly by the end of the year we will be in well and truly on in that track.
So does that mean that we already started working?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to please rejoin the queue for the follow-up questions?
Yes, thank you for so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Chaudhary Kanithi from Nivaka Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, Abhishek, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand what are the tailwinds you are seeing in this industry and are you trying to move your product base up the value chain in the future?
Yeah. So when we look at the tailwinds that we're seeing in the industry, I think one, overall, the domestic volumes are looking quite strong. So I think if you look at Q1 performance on tractor, the tractor industry has done very well in Q1. The commercial vehicle industry also, albeit on a lower base of last year's Q1, has done fairly well. And we expect that these two segments for the year as a whole will grow. So that's the general on that part of the market. Then in coming to exports, whatever dips we saw last year, which were primarily driven by tariffs, right? And the tariffs didn't really impact us. The tariffs really impacted our end customers to the point where the sales of heavy trucks came down. So now, with a lot more clarity and a lot more stability on the tariff regime, we are actually seeing a fairly good amount of both pent-up demand as well as a little bit of a pre-buy effect for emission norm changes that are coming in January. So I think even on the export front, we expect to see a strong next couple of quarters to remain fairly strong. Then coming to more specific tailwinds to the company beyond the market, I think there are maybe three things, two of which I already touched upon, which is the growth in the four-wheel drive segment. The second is the growth that's happening domestically within the commercial vehicle industry for cast axles. And the third is the overall growth in exports and the new products that we've actually worked hard to win over the last year, many of which are going into production now. And of course, there are many more projects are there in the pipeline which go into production gradually over the next 2 years. So we've got a very robust pipeline of new business as well, driven by either direct or indirect exports that are there. So I think these are the tailwinds that I can sort of point towards.
So, sir, can we expect the EBITDA margins to remain in the similar range?
So I think, like we said, our EBITDA margin, if you look at for the last quarter, was at about 9.48 rupees per kg. We believe that that's actually an aberration, and we should be back towards our stated goal of about 15 rupees a kg.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Shah from RS Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand and get some sense on the new product portfolio. How will they improve the company's profitability, for example, EBITDA per kg and revenue? And also, is there any revenue contribution expected from these products in H2 FY27? Any ballpark range could really be helpful.
Yeah. So the new products that are coming in are larger castings, castings where there is really not much competition domestically within India.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management is disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Atharv?
Yes.
Atharv, you can hear me?
Yes, yes. Please go ahead, sir.
I'm still here on the line.
Okay, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit. So the new products are larger castings, more heavier, more complex. And I think that helps us with a little bit more of a premium on those castings. That's very much, I think, what's going on. I think in terms of a guidance on the new products, like I said, the mature volume that we see in terms of revenue will be something in the range of about 200 crores a year, 200 to 250 crores a year. And we expect this maturity to happen towards the end of the current financial year, right? It's a gradual ramp-up. It's a little difficult to project the exact impact in H2 because that ramp-up curve might vary a little bit. We might ramp up a little faster, a little slower. But I think by the end of it, we should be able to hit that run rate.
Okay, sir, that's helpful. Also, sir, can you throw some light on how the business scenario from global customers looking to diversify sourcing towards India? And also, what progress has been made in Europe in terms of new customer wins? If you could highlight.
Yeah, so I think in terms of customers, I think there is a very good order book in terms of RFQs that are flowing through, good technical discussions that are happening. So I think overall the scenario is very, very positive for the industry as a whole, and certainly for us specifically, I think this is a very good scenario that's there. More specific on Europe, I think the challenge has always been people have been a little slower to move, right? I think people in the US are quite aggressive with taking these kind of business decisions and growing for when they see the right opportunities. I think Europe is a little bit more circumspect. They like to take their time. We've won a couple of orders from European customers because their existing source in Europe was in the process of going bankrupt, and therefore they needed to sort of make a decision rather than take a little bit more time. So as a result of that, we have won some business, and for us, the way we look at it is, I think the goal is to get the foot in the door. Once the foot is in the door, then the pace at which they work is much better, right? Because the perceived risk and all the analysis that they do is sort of replaced by performance. And I think that's our opportunity to shine. So we've got from one of the large truck OEMs in Europe, we have won some business, not a sizable business, but like I said, it's a foot in the door, and it's an ability to prove our capability wherein, you know, we're just another supplier, not a, you know, risky new overseas supplier as they view it.
Got it, sir. That's helpful. That's helpful. So I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankur Gulati from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Ankur.
Hey, hi. Two questions. Can you quantify or give plant-wise production this year? And any specific reason for production volumes to be slightly lower year on year and quarter on quarter?
Yeah, so quarter one, there was, I think, two reasons why there was a drop in production volume. I think one was because of an overall, there was a challenge in manpower availability across the industry. So we did get impacted a little bit in April and May, and we started to see it recover in June. That was one of the impacts. The other thing is, specifically in our Pedaparia plant, because of all these new products that are coming in, we did take a short shutdown to make some improvements to the plant so that we could meet these requirements for these ramp-ups that are coming up now.
And can you give plant-wise production for the quarter? Or plant-wise capacity utilization?
Sorry to interrupt. The line for the management is disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect. The management's line is reconnected and you may proceed.
Yeah, sorry. So in terms of capacity utilization, our Gudur plant was at about 53%. Our Poneri plant actually achieved 100% utilization, and our Pedaparia plant, because of some of these stoppages that we had for improvements, so we were at 21%.
And the realization went to 161 rupees per kg. Is this because of repricing, which you got partial repricing?
Yeah. So the realization actually did go up because there was some price increase that was passed through to customers. So it was, for the quarter, if you see, it was about 152, as against, I think if you go back to the previous quarter, fourth quarter was about 146, and the first quarter of last year was about 150.
So let's say next quarter, or Q2, once a full pass-through has happened, that's where you start hitting at least 40 rupees per kg EBITDA, wherever, in a quarter or two. So once you get the full pass-through in this quarter or next quarter, will that 14 rupees per kg will come back, right? That's what you're guiding for.
Yeah.
Last question, this 200 crore is, will we achieve annual run rate sort of a thing by Q4, or do you think we will be able to get the entire incremental 200 this year from new orders?
Sorry, the 200 crore ARR is what we're talking about as in, it's an ARR that we believe towards the end of the year we will achieve, right? I don't know if it'll be the entire fourth quarter or at least part towards the end of the fourth quarter, but that's what we expect to achieve from these new product development in addition to the existing business.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Gyanesh Munot from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Gyanesh, you're on.
Yes, sir. Thank you for providing me the opportunity. So I have two questions lined up. The first one that you flagged regarding the labor availability as an operating challenge which affected the FY27. So can you elaborate on the nature and scale of the issue and expected timeline for improvement or to normalize?
Yeah, so we are actually already seeing that it's fully normalized in July. The impact was really only in April and May. And really, we started to see recovery in June, and now in July, it is fully normalized.
All right. That was helpful. And the other question I would like to ask that, given the Q1 margin, so kindly, you can guide us on the basis of realistic floor of FY27 margin. So should we expect further compression before improvement begins, or how it is, sir?
No, we don't. I mean, again, this is... A little bit of this depends on Mr. Trump and what's happening in terms of the prices. But from what
right.
we can see, we expect that Q2 itself should be back to normal levels. This is at least based on what we see today.
All right. And any specific percentage you see forward, sir?
So I think like what we had mentioned, right, to around that 15 rupees a kg number.
All right.
We're seeing.
Okay, so thank you so much. That was insightful.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Deepak ji. Namaskar, Shiva sir. Hope I'm audible.
Namaskar, Saket ji.
Yes, sir. Sir, firstly, as you were alluding to the fact that there was confluence of two, three factors that led to this lowering of EBITDA per kg below the sub 10 level. The one was the labor issue, then the RM cost, and also with the shutdown we took for Petpariya. So is this understanding correct? These were the one-off items or events that happened for Q1 and are not
yeah.
to be... yeah.
So in terms of, so it's not exactly a shutdown. It was more of just a temporary stoppage for making these plant modifications, right, and improvements. So
okay.
I'm a little hesitant to use the word shutdown, but in addition to that, not just the raw materials, but also the sea freight cost, right, when we talk about impact. So some of that gets passed through into this quarter's pricing.
You mentioned the freight cost.
The freight cost, yeah. Export
okay.
for the
sea freight. Yeah, yeah. So, sir, can you just, for our benefit, quantify to us in an absolute number what would have been that ballpark number? Because the other expenses are up, I think, with June versus June by 10%. And also, sir, I missed the tonnage number. What was our total tonnages, production and sale for Q1?
Okay. The total... tonnage on production was about 21,184.
21, 184 was the production number and the sales?
22, 442.
Okay. And the comparative number, sir, the last year June quarter?
Last year June quarter was, production was 22,038 and sales was 22,073.
Okay. So on a sales basis, we are on the like-to-like basis only. The numbers have been flattish number only.
Yeah.
Okay. So sir, are you in a position to quantify to us that this was the one-off item in terms of the freight and the other issues that led to the lowering of EBITDA, and that will gradually or will, is more likely to get reversed in Q2?
I can give you a very rough number based on our cost calculations and what we are expecting recovery in the current quarter. So that is would be an addition of about 4 rupees a kg is the raw material effect that we are seeing that is we expect will get passed on to into this quarter's pricing.
Okay. Sir, as you mentioned in your press release part, and I quote you that we are at an inflection point. Beyond the near-term operating environment, we believe the company is at an important inflection point. So on the premise of that, and also when you gave the comparative number of the revenue growth and the growth in tonnages, so when we are putting a number of, say, 1 lakh tonnage, this was the growth, the 9% growth was there from FY24 to 25 also, without the introduction of the new product and the product ramp-up which we are anticipating for this year. So are we much more conservative on this 1 lakh number, and that should be, we will be more comfortable on exiting at a higher level, or you have factored both these aspects? I'm just trying to put the comparative number. FY24-25, we had a tonnage of 83,637, and that moved up to 91,304. That was about 9%. Is worse, maybe aap wohi 9% hi bata rahe with the introduction of new ramp up of product at Fed Korea. So where is my understanding incorrect?
So I think on the new products that we are referring to, I think we are maybe being a little conservative in terms of the volume projection, mainly because of timeline, right? Because this is a completely new product that is getting launched, so there is some potential for delays and all of that. So we want to make sure that you know, that is factored in and you know, fully addressed. So
your voice was not clear to me. If you could just complete your sentence once again.
I think because of the new products that are launching, there is a ramp-up phase that's happening, right? So we're trying to be, I think we're being a little cautious on that, on those numbers, mainly because we do know from past experience that there is some, you know, risk of things taking longer on ramp-ups than what is expected, both from our side as well as on the customer side. So we're just being a little conservative on that, just based again on past experience.
Okay. Because sir, if I correct me here also, that you mentioned the number of 200 crore as the new business addition. So in that understanding, what is the additional tonnage from the new set of businesses that we are going to ramp up for this year? That is the additional tonnage, then the natural growth in the tonnages. So if you could just bifurcate for us, because last year we did not have the benefit of Fed Korea contribution, and we grew by 9%. So I'm just trying to make that sense. Help me.
I don't have that data with me at the moment on terms of in terms of how that translates into tonnage, but we can work that out and share it later.
Okay. Two small points. I'm joining the queue on the EBITDA front also, sir. When we look at our 2023 to 24, the EBITDA was flat, but from 24 to 25, I think the rupee depreciation and other raw RM prices and other benefits also, we grew from 106 to 124. So taking into account the higher run rate for the EBITDA per kg and the improved tonnage, it is very likelihood that the growth in EBITDA for 24-25 to 25-26 should be repeated in the same percentage, or in fact better than what the percentage growth has been? Is that understanding correct?
I think we do expect that this year we will have a reasonably good double-digit EBITDA growth, right? I think that's our expectation for sure.
Okay, sir. And lastly, about our investment in the renewable segment, and I think so our investment, some non-core investment also, which we were about to invest in the solar facility in the open source, and now with so many policy changes, with battery storage also being mandatory, how are we aligning ourselves to improve this renewable share from 70% to a higher number? What would be the exit for this year, and what is our plan and investment for the same?
So I think our long-term goal is at 80%, right? I think right now we are somewhere between 65 to 70%. Our long-term goal is 80%. So I think we've done, I would say, globally speaking, I think we would certainly be a benchmark in this metric. And this is something that I think we're particularly proud of. We do have strategies to get to 80%. I think we, in the sort of medium to long run, I think that's part of our plan. But I think at the moment, I think most of the investments and commitments that we've made, we've now completed. So this year we might probably just let it stabilize for a little bit before we, chalk out the next steps of the strategy.
And on the land bank part, what have we, any new thought process on the land bank utilization or monetization?
So, I mean, we're waiting for the right kind of opportunity. I think the this would be the location of the land, I think, is quite strategic. It's close to the new ISRO facility that is in Tamil Nadu that recently set up. So we think that the right opportunity will come very soon, right? But at the moment, it is not on. There's nothing imminent, I would say.
Okay. And on the valuation front, anything we have evaluated as of now? What should be the ballpark or the valuations of the piece of land?
We have not done any such evaluation.
My closing question for Shiva, sir. What is our this year capex that we are doing, the improvement capex, number one? And number two, I think so it is commendable that we have lower our the long-term borrowing. So what would be our current maturity and current debt today, and what would be the exit of FY26-27?
Our net debt is about 187 crore as on 30th June. Currently, repayment is about 30 crores, out of which 10 crores already we paid. So maybe we can expect another 30 crore reduction at the year end from the term loan.
Okay, and the cost of fund currently, sir?
Capex is about 35 crores in the current maintenance capex.
That are only operational capex, no addition in the tonnage. Only improvement, sir?
Maintenance and improvement, both.
Thank you, Deepakji and Shiva, sir, for the same. And we hope as investors that the inflection point is what we all people are also anticipating. Just to conclude, sir, when you mentioned 15 rupees is what our EBITDA per kg, that would be the average for this year or the exit for the year? What should that 15 number or a 14 number should signify for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management is disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect. The management's line is reconnected and you may proceed.
Yes, sir. So there will be drop out, sir. I will just repeat my question. Now I'm audible, sir.
Yes, you're audible,
Sakirji. Yes, sir. My question was, when you mentioned that it will be 14 to 15 rupees EBITDA per kg that we are eyeing, so that will be the average for FY26-27 or the exit rate, or because the next quarter itself we should be closer to 14 if the pass on and the one-off are to be removed. So if you could just give that understanding also.
What is our goal and what we believe is possible is to actually achieve 15 for the full year.
15 for the full year. That will factor the blip also. So that gives an understanding of the higher exit for the year.
Yes, that's what right. we're working towards.
Yes, sir. My best wishes to the entire team, sir, and all the best. Namaskar, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Praneet from SJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. So, with the PS question, you already mentioned that we have a longer-term and medium-term goal in terms of our renewables. But I was wondering, so far, most of our renewable capacity, almost all of it is mostly like co-generation type of capacities, right? So, is there any possibility that we might be able to put it ourselves by any chance?
Oh, you mean the group captive? Yeah. We've got 1 megawatt of our power that is located in-house within our plant, right? We might increase that a little bit by another couple of megawatts or so. We have the space for that, but not beyond that. Most of the what typically happens and why we use the group captive scheme is two reasons. One, our partners in the group captive scheme are people who specialize in setting up large wind farms or large solar parks, right? So they have a specialization and a capability that is there that we're able to leverage. I think the second thing is also it's a lot easier to do it as part of a, you know, larger thing than for us to sort of step in and try to handle each of those things on a much smaller scale. So I think it makes the most amount of sense to continue to do it that way, unless we are doing something which is on-site, like what we're doing in the Pedaparia plant, where we've got about a 1 megawatt setup over there.
But sir, I think with Pedaparia we have a lot of excess capacity already mentioned. So how many megawatts do you think we can fit there with, like, considering our operational caps, probably expansion process later in the stage?
Yeah, with the space that we have available and allocated for that, excluding, you know, whatever we've allocated for other, you know, business growth, the space that we have specifically allocated for that, I think there's approximately 2 to 2.5 megawatts further that we can install over there. But of course, one of the things that's happened in the last few years is that the technology on the solar side is improving. So, you know, what was the area that you needed for 2 megawatts a few years ago, you can probably squeeze into 2 megawatts today, right? So if we take this on a year, year and a half from now, maybe we can squeeze an extra 0.5 megawatt or another, something like that as well.
So what is exactly the IRR difference between, let's say, captive plant versus, let's say, the group captive situation?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not very obvious calculation because in the group captive situation, you are actually paying, so there's two things, right? Your investment on the group captive is lower because our equity stake will be roughly about 26% of the equity investment. And roughly, if you look at the projects will be funded by a mix of debt and equity, right? So it might be as high as 70% debt, 30% we have. We invest about 26% of the equity that goes in. From a running perspective, because it's not located within the facility, we do pay wheeling charges to the DISCOM. Whereas when we are co-located within the plant, we don't have that cost that's there. Now, in the state of Andhra Pradesh, which is where Pedaparia is located, there are certain, you know, again, rules and all of that. So up to the 1 megawatt which we have today, it actually works on net metering. And if you go beyond 1 megawatt, then it's actually real-time metering, which means that in any 15-minute slot, the power that you generate, you have to consume it within that 15-minute slot or you lose the power. So this is actually a very, very complicated subject that we spend a lot of time on. But, you know, it varies based on many things, including the vintage and the rules in which the power generation unit was set up. So then there are certain exemptions, banking, all of that's available, right? So it's a fairly complicated subject that needs focus, right? And I think one of the things that we have done right is actually do this early, and I think that's helped us in some of the investments that have been made have been grandfathered in old rules, and I think that's a good advantage.
Understood, sir. So net-net, it's more like
what we're just getting from renewables not that much cheaper from what we have paid anyway, because there's that debt interest component and charges we might probably pay to get the power here, method of here.
Yeah, so I think that way, if you look at it, yeah, the main benefit that you get out of putting it, doing it ourselves, if we do it on premises, is the wheeling charges, right? Which is like, depends on the state, can be maybe roughly about 50 paise per unit or something like that.
Understood, sir. So in terms of, like, one last question regarding our EBITDA realization, you mentioned that we'll probably get at 15. So would it be driven by mostly for the year increasing share of exports, or there's also domestic incremental EBITDA that is getting generated, like on average basis?
We expect both will happen this year. There will be some improvement in domestic as well, but I think export will drive it. The other thing is, when I talk about the reason I put domestic also into that mix, is because the overall capacity utilization going up will actually significantly drive this impact.
Understood, sir. So over the long-term metrics, so when do you think we'll be able to do the full utilization part of it? Because I think we already have enough orders for getting to our 180,000 tons, right? So when do you think it's, is it in the next 3 years, or will it take longer than that?
Yeah, we think it's probably a 2 to 3 year time frame by the time for us to fully utilize capacity.
So does that mean, sir, 2 to 3 years, like, it's almost doubling our capacity from now? So do you think from next year onwards, beyond this year, we'll probably be increasing our production capacity by 20-30% than our marginal rate of 10-15% that we've done in the past?
Yeah, so, once these businesses are ramped up, and then we have some more that are in the pipeline that will go into production next year, we do expect that, we should get to about 130,000 tons or so in the next 2-3 years. So that's the what we are working towards.
But so there is a possibility of us going to that 20% growth mark in terms of volumes after the next year, like this year.
Yeah, I mean, if everything turns out really well, okay, that's on the cards as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take that as the last question. And now I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your time and for your interest in Elcast. As we mentioned earlier, that we believe that we're now at that inflection point and that we can put Elcast on a much higher platform in the quarters and years to come. So I'd like to thank you again for all your questions as well as your interest in Elcast. Have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Elcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.